Welcome back to the West Bridgewater Podcast. I'm Ellen Snowinvis, and with me is my colleague, Ashley Warren. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Ellen.
Today, we are going to talk about mysteries and the romance of mysteries and what it is about mysteries that seem to make them such a popular genre. What do you think, Ashley? What is it about a mystery?
I've always been a huge fan of mystery books, and I think it is the danger element that everyone has, that they always want to live vicariously through someone else.
Right.
And living through someone else vicariously, be it with danger, with some kind of suspense, I think it just always holds everyone's interest as they read.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the suspense element is really, really important to me. I just think sometimes it's hard to get into a book, but with a mystery, I hardly ever have trouble getting involved. It seems popular with kids and adults and teens. It just seems to be one of those genres that's a great hook for people, especially if they're reluctant readers. Or, you know, I know adults who used to read and then they kind of dropped out of reading and then they finally got back into reading. And frequently it was a mystery that got them back into the reading practice, you know.
And it's funny because my earliest memories of reading and remembering what I was reading was I was probably between fifth and sixth grade, and I absolutely devoured the entire Agatha Christie library over a summer. And that was my introduction to just avid reading and just reading an entire author's collection and just loving what she wrote.
And she's a little formulaic, but for some reason it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What's funny about Agatha Christie, my story about her books is that when I was working in Duxbury, they put Death on the Nile on the senior high school summer reading list. And I thought, oh, gee whiz, I don't think I should buy multiple copies of that. But I did. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, it went out and it was so popular. No matter how dated it was, no matter how kind of...
slightly antiquated because it's very proper British.
And I wasn't sure that the kids would understand all the nuances of the social structure of British aristocracy. Mm-hmm. They just loved it. It was the funniest thing.
That's great.
So what mysteries have you brought in to talk about today?
Two of my all-time favorites, and then a more recent book which has a little dabbling of film noir and a little Alfred Hitchcock thrown in.
Yes.
I'll start with that one. It's
okay.
The Woman in the Window by A.J. Finn. Very reminiscent of Rear Window by Alfred Hitchcock.
Right.
For anyone who's a fan of the film Panic Room, slightly a little bit of that.
Oh, okay.
The main character is agoraphobic.
Yes.
And she lives her life living in her apartment after, I don't want to give a big plot twist away, but an accident has happened that has led her to become agoraphobic, and she watches through her windows at a very different family that lives across the street.
Right.
And she tries to piece together what she thinks is happening in that family.
Yes. It's very suspenseful. And I think it was fun to read it with Rear Window in mind.
Yes.
Because her, similar to Gregory Peck being in the wheelchair, her agoraphobia is similar in terms of a handicap.
Right.
So that was really, really interesting. And wow, there were so many twists in that book.
I thought I had it figured out halfway through, but I was completely wrong.
So surprised.
Which was a pleasant surprise for me, because typically I do figure it out halfway through, and then I'm disappointed at the end when I go, yeah, I was right the whole time.
I was right, and why did I even finish the book? Yeah. No, she, and actually it's a male writer, which I thought was also interesting, because I kind of, before knowing, I read the book thinking it might be a woman writer, because I thought, well, like J.K. Rowling, you know, maybe a woman would use the first two initials. No, it turned out to be a guy, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought he got into her head really well.
Absolutely.
So we recommend that as a... And, you know, there again, A Woman at the Window is a book that I continue to remember and mull over. Mm-hmm. It's one of those books that kind of sticks with you. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure your other choices are also books that stick with you.
My other two choices are more on the short story novella length. Again, one of my all-time favorites that I read in seventh grade, thank you, Mrs. Horowitz, back at Elmville Elementary Middle School, was The Lottery by Shirley Jackson.
Very controversial when it was published.
Very controversial back in the 1940s when it was published. It was published as a short story in The New Yorker.
Right.
Which people don't really realize that, and it's kind of topic-heavy for that day and age. I don't want to give too much of it away because right. It is absolutely, it was the first story that I read that I completely had no idea what was happening. It took me completely from where I was to being in this rural town and just what was going on. And it was the first time I had read something that I never had it figured out. It came as a complete shock. Again, I don't want to give too much away,
no.
But I highly recommend it. You'll be able to, no matter who you are, you'll be able to read it in about half hour.
Well, that's the thing. It's a one sitting read,
right?
And you know, it's so interesting to have written it in the 40s, and you know, with the World War II and all the rest of the events, cataclysmic events in the world at the time. It reminded me what my daughter did was in the play. The Lottery when she was in at Silver Lake High School, and so I got a chance to read it again mm-hmm. when she needed help with her lines, and I really, as a former history major in college, it brought back to mind the topic that Hannah Arendt, the famous and tremendous German historian, talks about, the mundanity of evil,
mm-hmm.
just the commonplaceness
mm-hmm.
and the sort of, it can be just a sunny day and, you know, people are just going about their business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is what's mm-hmm. so shocking.
And I've always, looking back on it now, you can see how books that were written 50, 40 years ago have kind of been recycled and repurposed. So if you think about it, Hunger Games.
Yeah.
That series slightly has a little hint of The Lottery taken
from
it. Oh,
definitely.
That same slight premise.
I love that mm-hmm. connection you're making. Definitely
yeah.
true.
Yeah. I always like to see stories kind of repurposed.
Yeah, and of course, not a mystery, but Fahrenheit 451,
mm-hmm.
people are really rereading that mm-hmm. with great interest. It is funny how some books really have incredible staying power.
Absolutely.
Rereading The Lottery, I also had read it in high school, and then rereading it when I was helping my daughter, it is really a classic,
mm-hmm.
and it has impact.
Absolutely.
A continual impact.
Absolutely.
Great. So what's your third?
My third, I just reread it, and I am a reader who tends not to reread books.
I haven't been a big rereader myself.
It's just something I've always felt it's in my head. I've read it once. There's far too many books for me to read in my lifetime than to have to reread another one. But this is one of a small number of books that I've reread. It's The Ocean at the End of the Lane by Neil Gaiman.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely phenomenal book. I loved it. Again, very short read.
Yeah.
Deals with magic and evil and mythical creatures. It deals with a boy. It starts with a man who comes back to his hometown for a funeral for
mm-hmm.
a family member and just happens to decide to visit his neighbors. And it's a group of three multi-generational women of a family who... Again, don't want to give any spoilers.
Right.
Are very protective of him, in a sense. And just things that have happened to him during one summer with these three women
mm-hmm.
That have kind of ripple effects
yeah.
through the rest of his life.
Right.
And I was actually reading some information about it. I've not read other Neil Gaiman books,
mm-hmm.
But a lot of the characters that he writes about, the Hemsock family in particular, are characters that he revisits in other books.
Oh, I kind of have read a few mm-hmm. of his other books, and I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah. So it was a really interesting read. It started out as a story that he would tell his wife at bedtime, and he tried to kind of take a lot of the mystery and suspense out of it because she's not a fan of that type of
right.
book. But when he decided to actually write it as a short story, a novella, that he actually added some more of those items in.
That's great. So you recommend people read that?
Absolutely.
I love that you're becoming a rereader because mm-hmm. I, too, have only recently become a rereader, in large part due to my being part of the West Bridgewater Book Club, mm-hmm. because some of the books that we choose are, you know, old favorites of mine, and so in order to talk about it, I have to reread it, and I always come back with new ideas mm-hmm. and fresh insights, and that's really great. Well, my two mystery writers that I want to bring to people's attention are Tana French, who is Irish, and Robert Galbraith, who, of course, is the pseudonym for J.K. Rowling. But the Tana French book that I started with is the first one of her Dublin police series, and it's called In the Woods. And I was bracing myself for a police story specifically, but this is so much of a psychological mystery and psychological thriller. And some of the other books that you and I have both read mm-hmm. and talked about, it's very much of a psychological
yes.
thing.
Yes.
I'm not a big horror fan, and I really am not a fan of books that are very graphic in
right.
their description of death and murder and all that rest of it. I much more prefer the psychological suspense of a mystery.
Right.
And she can be a little graphic because there are dead bodies, but what's wonderful about In the Woods is just the psychology of the kids. It starts with a man going back to his hometown also and revisiting a time when he went into the woods with his friends and he was the only one to return. So you, right from the get-go, you're mm-hmm. wondering what in the world is
right.
going on.
Right.
And then, you know, the police do get involved, and there are all sorts of other things going on here too. There's an archaeological dig,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a fascinating book. I just highly recommend her because she does have lots of threads that she weaves into one main story that you don't lose interest because you just have to figure out well why is she talking about, you know, an archaeology dig? How does that fit in? And is this a crime or is it something else?
I read that book. And I remember saying the same thing. You would think that the multiple storylines would kind of be, you know, off-putting.
Right.
Because they don't kind of, at first glimpse, they don't really tie together. But
right.
she ties them all together very, very nicely.
It's just fascinating. And I've read a couple of other books, which have also been really wonderfully sort of complex in a way that's not exhaustingly complex. You know, I want to enjoy the read. I don't want to be, you know, having to remember a lot of names and that sort of thing, at least at my age. And then I want to give a shout out to audiobooks because I was able to download and listen from Libby, Overdrive's audiobook resource, the four, what's his name, Cormoran Strike novels. Starting with The Cuckoo's Calling, and then that's the first book, and then there are three more by Robert Galbraith, who, of course, is J.K. Rowling. It's a pseudonym of hers. And they are about Cormoran Strike is an Afghan war veteran who loses his leg in the war, comes back, and he had been in the military police, and comes back and becomes a private detective. And then he hires a temp who turns out to be really good at detective work as well. So he, even though she had started out as a temp, then he puts her on full time. And just solving mysteries that come through his door. But they're really good. They're really well written. And the characters, you know, if you remember the Harry Potter books, you know that her ability to write a character out
yes.
is very
yes.
complete. And they were fun to listen to. I was a little nervous about listening to a mystery because I was worried. You're listening either, you know, in bed or driving around in the car, and you're worried that you will lose the thread.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a testament to her writing ability that, you know, she really keeps the narrative simple enough so you are able to follow it no matter what else you happen to be doing. So I highly recommend the Cameron Strike. It's a quartet now, and I'm sure she's going to continue writing them because there's more to be said. So it's fun to see what you're reading. A lot of the books are an overlap because right. you seem to read a lot of the same ones I've read. And we encourage everybody to come in and check our new bookshelves. Check out these authors. I'll have them on the website that goes with our podcast. We'll have the names of the authors and their books listed so you can easily refer to them. Our website is westbpl.org, and you can just go up to the menu and find the podcast listing. And so that is that with mysteries. And who knows what we're going to talk about next time.
It's a mystery.
Thanks for joining me, Ashley, and goodbye to all of you.
Bye, everyone. Bye.